3.5 years is a long time, but I've heard your testimony, and if your wife or children were present, I imagine they would acknowledge that. Do you think that this is a past problem and not a current one?
They would all say that. They would say, we got our dad back, or we got, you know, grandpa back if it's the grandkids. Or my wife would say, these have been the best years I've ever known in terms of our marriage. Now, my wife is a very active person as well. I mean, she's won all kind of awards. She's written, I think she's written probably 25 books. That's not easy to do, you know. And sometimes I say to her, I think we've reversed roles. I have become the mom in many ways who watches over the family, and you're in the career thing. And she said, no, I'm not what you were. And it's true. I just say that to make myself feel better, because she has a very good balance on things. And I watch her, and she knows how to say no. I never said no. I never said no because I didn't think anybody could do what I did. You know, I was the answer to every problem in the world. I now know that there are many problems I have no idea what the answer is. And the truth is also that if I burned out and was gone, the world would go right on. You know, the kingdom didn't revolve around me. I see a lot of people who are superstars in the Christian world, if I put it that way. And I think to myself, as I talk to them, it's almost like the axis of the world runs right through their headquarters building, you know. And the whole world gravitates around what they are doing, and they talk about it incessantly. And I think something's sad there, because they've lost touch with the humility that comes from the Lord. I don't want a breaking time for them. The breaking time for me, the Lord was very gracious and very relentless. I mean, if you like getting hit on the head with a spiritual hammer repeatedly until finally, you know, you say, you do that one more time, it's going to go right through my cranium, you know. I lost an awful lot and I gained an awful lot. The Lord has been good. I would testify to his wonderful kindness in my life, and I would also testify to a great closeness with him. It's not that I don't do ministry on his behalf, but I'm limited in what I do, and partly because he's taught me how to limit what I can do. I'm a very good churchman, but there are certain things in the church that I can't do. I was asked, you know, would you be willing to be an elder in this church? And I said, I would be willing, but I'm not supposed to. You know, I know the Lord does not want me to do that. That's it would overload a very precarious schedule that I have, and I have to be careful. Would you like to come out and speak? I have to pray about that, and I want to ask my wife about it, because I don't know if that would be the right thing or not. The truth is, your church will go on whether I come out and speak or not. It's not going to make that much difference. So I am not a be-all, do-all, you know. And that's hard for me to admit, you know. I mean, yeah, I know why you want me. I'm wonderful. You know, it's a whole different mindset.
Yes.
So I'm learning a lot, and I'm learning that the kingdom functions quite well whether I'm around or not. And at the same time, I'm learning that though I'm not the most important thing in the world, I do have importance. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to balance that out.
It seems to me that it's quite wise when speaking about this problem to use the term recovering workaholic, because all of those impulses are probably so deeply embedded in your being that it would not be very difficult in the right circumstances, if you didn't bring this before the Lord every single day, to be drawn back into that.
Yeah, people are a help to me. You're a help. When we do these, one of the reasons I'm willing to do them is because you said we can do them well and we don't have to make them perfect. You know, I'm not only a workaholic, I'm a perfectionist in a lot of ways. And the truth is, some of these times we've talked together, probably I would go back and redo them. But it's not worth redoing, because I'm saying what needs to be said. It's not perfect. You know, if somebody wants to get a better teacher, there are better teachers around. But what we have to offer, the two of us together, you're helping me immensely. I'm passing most of the work off to you from now. And you will take that on. I don't know whether you're a recovering workaholic or not, Dean. But basically, I'm saying you've made me comfortable. I can do this, and that's good. And it's what I have to offer. And if it has value, that's great. But basically, I'm saying, God, I offer it up to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to keep fiddling with it. We're not looking for an award. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm basically saying you're a humble servant for Jesus' sake. And there are other people, they may be better help to you, who knows. But I'll do what I can, which is a whole different attitude for me.
Yeah, and it is an attitudinal thing. And I would just comment that in my own life, I am a recovering workaholic. And in my case, the Lord had to break my health. And in breaking my health brought me to the place where I literally could no longer do what I had once done. And it was an enormously difficult time in my life.
Yeah, you had a horrendous schedule. I mean, you were at the very top of your world in terms of fire prevention. So if somebody say, who's the number one fire prevention person to go to, that was Dean Wilson. Mm-hmm. So I've never thought of you as a workaholic, but I do know that you were all over the country. And so it's the same thing. And the fire prevention world has continued to exist since you're no longer part of it.
Quite fine. Yes, indeed it has. Yes, indeed it has.
There have been a lot of fires lately.
There have indeed. I also can't help but thinking about signs. Maybe there's a pastor that's listening to us now and dealing, trying to examine his own heart or her own heart to decide, am I a workaholic? And one of the things that helped me come to the reality of this was a funny story you told a long time ago, David, about a particularly very famous individual who had crossed paths with you and a group of other folks and was talking and had talked almost incessantly for a good long while, maybe 45 minutes, about his ministry and opportunities that he had had and so forth. And finally, it was like he kind of needed to take a breath. And so he said, well, I've talked about myself for a long time now. Why don't you talk about me for a while?
I knew what you were going to say. That's a great story.
That story would come back to me from time to time in various situations. And although I wasn't quite as arrogant as that, I could see the tendency to be pulled in that direction. So if you as a pastor look around at the ones you love and you see that the one who loves you the most, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're shortchanging your relationship with him, then it's time to think about whether you need to examine your own heart and make some changes. And that brings me to ask you, David, what advice you'd give to a pastor who may be listening quite intently to our conversation on this topic.
Well, all we've done probably is open up the possibility of thoughts that are new, like when my kids said, your biggest problem is not what you're talking about, you're workaholic. Maybe our just discussion has said to that person, you know, maybe you need to think that's where you are. Is that what the problem is between you and the Lord? Then you know, probably the next thing would be to get a book on the topic. The next thing maybe be to say, Lord, show me if this is a problem with me. I don't want it to be. Help me to somehow recognize what is going on here. I'm open to learning from you. So maybe this is one of those introductory times where a person just begins to play with the idea. Maybe they're talking about something that's a part of my life. I wouldn't go back. You know, with all of what was there in my life before, I project ahead, and you wouldn't have interviews with me, Dean, because I'd be dead. Yeah. I was a dead man. The Lord in his graciousness gave me some wonderful later years in my life with my family and my grandchildren. They're fantastic times, and I still have meaning in my life. I still have a role to play. But I there's not a question in my mind I would be dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God that you're not. And
that you're still alive as well.
Indeed,
huh?
Absolutely. Very much so. I praise God every day that every breath I take and every beat of my heart is a precious gift from him. What are we talking about next time?
Well, we have a real winner, Dean. I don't know how this happened, but I've often said that one of the problems of the church is that it doesn't realize that it's backslidden. And if you don't deal with reality, you're not going to solve the problem. I want to talk about indications of backsliding in the life of an individual, or more specifically, the pastor. So that sounds like a real winner, doesn't it? We go from workaholism to backsliding. Maybe it's not just the people in the church who have backslidden. Maybe the pastor has as well.
Well, let's hope that on that note, there'll be plenty of pastors that, if for no reason other than curiosity, will come back to hear what we have to say.
Have a big drop-off this next time, huh?
Well, let's hope not. We do invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there for pastors. We're dedicated to helping pastors develop effective, life-transforming sermons, and also to become better pastors, better servants of the Lord Jesus. And we do that with a great deal of humility on our own parts and also gratitude to God for what he's done in our lives.
Amen.
So come back and join us, won't you, next time we get together.